This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
It's time for a different take. This is Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews. Every morning starting at 5, we give you the latest local Atlanta news. Sports news doesn't stop, and we're here to get you caught up on the latest Atlanta sports news and more.
The Hometown Take is on Sports Radio 92.9, The Game. Now, here's Dylan.
What's going on, everybody? It is your boy Dylan Matthews live in the Kia Studios giving you the Hometown Take. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at _ Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Good Tuesday morning to you. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my overnighters, truck drivers, third shifters. Shout out to all my early morning, late night Uber and Lyft drivers. Shout out to all my early morning, late night limo drivers out there as well. Shout out to all the first responders protecting the city, the county, the state, the country. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my early gym goers getting them good endorphins flowing early this morning. Shout out to all my people already at work or on their way to work. Salute to you. I know the vibes. I'm right here with you. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hospital workers out there working around the clock, making sure that people get the good medicine, treatment, and care that they need. Shout out to all my early morning, late night food industry workers serving up the good nourishment for all my early risers this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night dentists, dental workers, dental assistants out there, making sure that people keep their pearly whites nice, clean, and shiny this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night vending machine technicians out there, making sure that people can get their snack on early this morning. Shout out to all my early morning, late night bus drivers out there riding around and getting it, making sure that people get from home to work and the kiddos get from home to school in a safe and timely fashion. Shout out to all my early morning, late night front and rear load truck drivers out there. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 728 transportation drivers in the film industry. Shout out to all my early morning, late night local 613 IBEW workers out there as well. Shout out to all my early morning, late night hotel workers, hospitality workers out there, making sure that people are having a great stay wherever that may be. Shout out to all my early morning, late night UPS drivers, UPS workers, FedEx drivers, FedEx workers, Amazon drivers, Amazon workers, all my early morning, late night airport workers out there as well. Appreciate y'all tuning in. Shout out to all my early morning, late night funeral home workers, and of course, all my people listening in the bed right now as well. A lot to talk about this morning. Appreciate y'all tapping in with me. Obviously, I was out on Friday, and then we had Monday off because of President's Day. So it's been a minute since I talked to y'all at this time. I did have a Saturday show, a quick Saturday show on Saturday, obviously. So I was on after the Auburn-Alabama game and right before the Kentucky and Texas game. So a little bridge show in between some college basketball action. It was a good time. It was quick. So we didn't have a chance to talk about much, so we're going to bring some things over from Saturday that we didn't get a chance to get into this show, and it's some good stuff as well. So can't wait to continue to get into that. But we have to start with, I know a lot of you may be wondering, and if you didn't have a chance to hear my show on Saturday, I'm going to recap my time in Philly for you as I did go to the Eagles Championship Parade. And no, it's not because I'm an Eagles fan. I am a diehard Falcons fan, born and raised here in the ATL. I was in Philly at the Eagles Championship Parade because, obviously, my girlfriend is a diehard Eagles fan. And with the parade landing on Valentine's Day, I figured I needed to go out there and be there. This was her first parade as well, too. She didn't go there. She didn't go to the one in 2017. I guess technically 2018 is when the parade would have been. But you get what I'm saying. She wasn't there for their first championship parade. This was her first one. So with all those factors, I feel like I needed to be out there, okay? And I'm going to recap my time for you. And I'm going to tell you why I will never, ever again, unless there's another Eagles championship parade that lands on Valentine's Day, I'm not doing that again. I am not ever going to another team's championship parade ever again. Unless it's the Falcons, I don't want to do it. Unless it's the Falcons having a parade, I ain't going. Because, for one, let me just actually line out and lay out my whole last couple of days leading up to the parade, okay? So, I do the show on Thursday, right? I have to do this show, produce the morning shift, so I'm up at, I knew it was going to be a long day, so I made sure I went ahead and got some prep done early so I could give myself a little extra time to sleep in. So, I slept in until about 4 a.m. Thursday morning, okay? So, I'm up at 4 a.m. Get to the station, do the show, produce the morning shift, leave the station around 11 a.m., okay? So up at 4 a.m., get to the station around 4:20, and then I leave the station around 11 a.m. So after I leave the station at 11 a.m., go get some food real quick, go back to the apartment, eat, quick shower, quick pack, because, again, we weren't going to be gone for long. I left on Thursday, came back late Friday night, or you can say early Saturday because it was in the AMs and when we got back from Philly. But anywho, I head to the airport after I eat, shower, and pack real quick. Obviously, get to the airport. Flight was good, all that stuff. Get to Philly around, I think it was, because I actually, the most cost-effective way to make this trip for me this time around was to actually fly to New York and take the train to Philly. So that's what I did. Flew to New York, flew to EWR, I believe the airport is, in Newark, actually, New Jersey. And after that, took the train to Philly, got to Philly around, like, I think it was 8 o'clock, Ubered. It was a quick Uber to the hotel we stayed at. So I got to probably the hotel around 8:30. We had to grab a couple of things for the next day for the parade, snacks. And so we got snacks and we also got hand warmers and things of that nature. So we also got some food while we were out. So probably got back to the hotel and settled by like 9 o'clock-ish, if I had to guess. Then we were laid down and settled down for the night by 10, went to sleep by like, I think 11, I think, something around there. Anywho, up at 4 a.m., the point of all me saying all that is up at 4 a.m., worked, traveled, and wasn't asleep until probably around 11 a.m. or 11 p.m. So up at 4 a.m., didn't go to sleep till 11 p.m. I think I might have maybe snuck a little bit of a nap on the flight, but not that long. So it was a long day, to say the least. That's what I'm getting at there. So we had to wake up because, again, this is a championship parade in Philly. A lot of people showed up and showed out if you saw any of the video. There were a lot of people there. So we went to the art museum, the Rocky Steps, where the parade was ending and all the players were giving their speeches, okay? So we had to get out there early because people were lining up and getting out there early to try and get a good spot. So we wake up around 4:20 a.m., So going to bed at 11 and then waking right back up at 4:15, 4:20. And I had obviously woke up at 4 the day prior. So we weren't running on a whole lot of sleep. You know what I'm saying? So wake up 4:15, 4:20, get out there a little bit before 5 a.m. And we get to a good spot that we want to stand in right before 5 a.m. So when I tell you, one, there were people out, there were a good number of people out there already before we even got there, and it just got deeper and deeper and thicker and thicker, and there's more people coming in by the minute. It got busier by the minute. And there was literally a firework shot off before 6 a.m. They were rowdy out there, and they were rowdy early. But anywho, we were in our spot, like I said, like a little bit before 5 a.m. When I tell you, I was standing up and on my feet from 5 a.m. until about 4 p.m. I was on my feet, standing up in the cold. It was cold out there too, in the cold. And I was, again, surrounded. It got packed out there by 11 a.m. by the time the parade like officially started. It was packed. There was not a lot of space. We were packed in like sardines, and we were outside, mind you. We are outside packed in like sardines. So it's cold. There's not a lot of room between you and the next person. And I'm at a parade that for a team that I don't care nothing about, to be honest. I'm just there for support. I'm just there because I felt like I needed to be there. So it was not fun. My legs were tired, knees were tired. Now, we did walk a little bit after the parade ended, found a spot that wasn't too busy, got some food, and I was able to sit down and finally rest for a little bit, rest my back and my legs for a little bit. And then we continue on with the day and went back home later that night. Didn't get back home until, well, it was probably around 2 a.m.-ish or something like that. It was a late flight that got delayed. And when I tell you, we slept in hard the next day. We slept in for a while. But yeah, I don't want to do that again. I'm not gonna lie, y'all. I'm not gonna do that again. I'm glad I went this time. It had its cool moments, for sure. But unless, again, it is the Falcons having a Super Bowl parade, or again another Eagles parade lands on Valentine's Day, which now with the Super Bowl in a couple of years, going to be right before President's Day, that won't happen. So, yeah, I ain't doing that again. I ain't going to another Eagles championship parade or any other team championship parade ever again. I went this time. I was a supportive boyfriend. I did what I was supposed to do. She appreciated me being there. She knew what it meant, knew what I went through, knew what we all went through. I ain't doing it again. It was just, again, there were cool moments. I'm glad I went this time around, but that was a long, long day and a long, really, couple of days. And when I tell you I was, man, I felt like, and again, I'll remind you, or I won't say remind you. I'll also inform you and let you know, we didn't do any drinking. We didn't drink an ounce of alcohol. There was no liquor consumed. No liquid courage consumed at all. Just straight up water. But when I tell you, when we woke up that Saturday afternoon, after we had got back after a long day, when I tell you it felt like I got hit by multiple buses, it felt like I got hit by multiple buses. My body was sore. My whole entire body was sore, and it was rough. But again, happy I went. Glad I went there to give my support, and not doing it again. Definitely do not want to do that one again. It was again, very long couple of days. But again, I did what I had to do, and I felt like it was a success all in all. So happy with everything at the end of it. And it had its cool moments. Hearing the players' speeches, you know, were cool. And, you know, there was some music played out there and everything, you know, There were some of the music and dancing a little bit. That was all fun. That was all cool. But yeah, it was a long day. I'll say that. A long, really long couple of days. So it was what it was, though. But all in all, glad I went. Okay. Sorry about that. I had to replug in my headphones. I actually snatched them out while I was yapping. But again, all in all, was a success. It was a good trip, and did what I had to do. But I ain't going back again. Don't ask me to. If you are a fan of another team, but you live in A and you listen to the show, for one, I appreciate you. But don't ever ask me to go to another championship parade that ain't the Falcons, because I ain't doing it. Point blank, period. All right. When we come back here, about 5 minutes from now on the Hometown Take, we got to talk about the Atlanta Braves, because it's been out for a couple of days now. And again, I wanted to talk about this Saturday. Didn't get a chance to, so I want to make sure I give it its full time and give it a full segment. MLB put out there, or I guess it was MLB Network, put out their top 100 players right now. And I have a couple of problems with where a couple of Braves players were ranked. It doesn't make any sense to me. I'm going to try to make it make sense, but it ain't going to make sense. I'll let you know that much. We'll talk about that next here on Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
With more of the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Shout out to all my people that are tapped in, tuned in, that are on their way to work, already at work. I appreciate you. Shout out to all my people that are tapped in, tuned in, that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym. I appreciate you tuning in as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. Make sure you download that free Odyssey app. That way, if you are enjoying this show, but maybe you're not an early riser on the regular, guess what? You don't have to be a regular early riser to listen to my show. You can listen to my show at whatever time. Instead of 5 a.m., you can listen at 5 p.m. Instead of listening at 5 a.m., you can listen at 7 a.m. while you're getting up and getting ready for work, or maybe on your way to work. Or you can listen at 10 a.m. once you're settled at work. You can listen at any time. All you got to do is download that free Odyssey app on your smartphone and all your smart devices. It's as simple as downloading the app, searching for 92.9 The Game, finding my show, The Hometown Take, and then you can listen to my show in its entirety whenever you want, at whatever time, and wherever you are as well. You can do that with all the great shows here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. You can listen to them in their entirety. Go back and listen to your favorite segments, interviews, all that great stuff you can do with the free Odyssey app. So make sure you download it today on your smartphone and all your smart devices today. Now, let's talk about the Atlanta Braves. As I was telling you before the break, MLB Network has put out their MLB top 100 players right now. Braves have 7 players on that list. Ronald Acuña Jr. comes in at 16. Chris Sale comes in at 20. Austin Riley comes in at 33. Matt Olson at 34. Marcell Ozuna at 47. Michael Harris II comes in at 67. And then one of the newest Braves, probably the newest Brave, Yerickson Profar, comes in at 84. Now, I'm going to start with Ronald Acuña Jr. being named at 16. Actually, before I even get there, I'll get a couple of guys out the way. Yerickson Profar, 84, don't have a problem with. Michael Harris II being at 67, I feel like could be higher, but I get the consistency hasn't been all the way there, and obviously this list takes a lot into account when it comes to injuries, because in 2023, or I guess I should say 2024, in 2024, coming off his MVP season, Ronald Acuña Jr. was, well, this was for 2024. So 2023, Ronald Acuña Jr. was number one, coming off his MVP 40-70 season. He was number one. And because he tore his ACL and obviously didn't have an MVP-type season, he fell all the way to 16? So, yeah, they take injuries into account a lot, it seems like, in this list. So, I guess if they're weighing injuries and, you know, availability that much, which I guess is important, I could see Michael Harris II being at 67 because, again, consistency really hasn't been there, even when he's been on the field. And then, obviously, some of that has hurt him because he's been injured as well, too. So, I guess I can see that, but I still think that's a little – I still think that's low for Michael Harris II. They got Marcell Ozuna at 47. I don't disagree with that. Austin Riley at 33. Matt Olson at 34. Don't disagree with that. It's really Ronald Acuña Jr., Chris Sale, and Michael Harris that I have beef with. Again, I told you, I think Michael Harris can be higher, but I'm not too upset with that one, even though I do have a little beef with it. But the main two ones are Ronald Acuña Jr. and Chris Sale. So let's talk about Ronald Acuña Jr. first. First thing, to set this whole thing up, I want to play you a clip of some MLB Network guys talking about Ronald Acuña Jr. being ranked at 16 and how if he is back and has a healthy season this year and plays well this year, he could be right back in the top five next year. And to me, that says a lot. So let me let you hear a couple of MLB Network guys talking about where Ronald Acuña Jr. could be next year and why he fell to 16 this year, and then I'll give you my take.
Ronald Acuña Jr., last year's number one player in all of baseball, is down to number 16 due to an injury. Is that disrespect, Ryan, or is he on the list where he should be?
Well, if injury is going to cause you to drop 15 spots on the list, if he's healthy this year, I guarantee he's going to be back in the top five again next year. Disrespect, I don't know, but if he's watching this, I guarantee he'll be like, oh, really? You want to put me there? I'm going to show you what I can do. This guy does it all. I mean, you know, top to bottom, we saw the 40-70 season before that, his ability in the outfield to go get the ball, to throw. He's the complete player. The only thing that keeps him at 16 right now is the fact that he had that injury. So if he's healthy and back, I assure you when we're doing this list again next year, he's back in the top five.
So he's likely to miss the first month of the season. Right. So that's another reason maybe to slide him back, because you're not going to get a month of production. And when we saw him come back the last time when he tore his ACL, that first year he was good, but he wasn't 40-70. And I think they pulled back on the base running a little bit with him as well. So I think that the fact he's gone through this before and understands what it takes to work his way back will help him this year, where maybe I think he'll be more aggressive than he was the last time. But I don't think there's any disrespect moving him to this spot. It's the right place for him.
Yeah, I do think actually there's disrespect. Y'all basically just said that the only reason he went from number one to number 16 is because he got hurt. That's it. He drops 15 spots because he gets injured. Nah, that don't sit right with me. And let me give you, speaking of which, some of the guys that were over Ronald Acuña Jr., that were above Ronald Acuña Jr. You ready? So, at number one, there's only one person, I think, at this point that could be above Ronald Acuña Jr., that actually legit deserves to be above Ronald Acuña Jr. You ready? The only person, I think, is Shohei Ohtani. Shohei, to me, is the only guy that you could say when he's 100% and he's healthy and when he's right and he's going, he could be above Ronald Acuña Jr. just because what he does on the mound and what he does with his bat. That's the only guy. Aaron Judge was at number two. Nope. I'd rather have Ronald Acuña Jr. Aaron Judge ain't stealing 70 bases. Aaron Judge ain't close to stealing, you know, 40 bases. So, no, Aaron Judge does not deserve to be above Ronald Acuña Jr. He's at two. At number three, Bobby Witt Jr., nope, good young player. He don't deserve to be above Ronald Acuña Jr. I don't know if Bobby Witt Jr. has 40 home runs in him. He gets probably still 70 bases, but I don't know if he got 40 home runs in him. Number four, Juan Soto. Nope. He's right there. He could be right below Ronald Acuña Jr., but I don't think he's better than Ronald Acuña Jr. Mookie Betts, he's good. He can play multiple positions. That's cool. He's a very good player. I'd rather have Ronald Acuña Jr. Francisco Lindor, nope. Yordan Alvarez, nope. Freddie Freeman at 8, nope. Jose Ramirez at 9, nope. Gunnar Henderson at 10, nope. And I'll read off these last few. Tarik Skubal, Bryce Harper, Vladimir Guerrero Jr., Kyle Tucker, Paul Skeens. Nope. Rather have Ronald Acuña Jr. than all of them. Than all of them. I'd rather have Ronald Acuña Jr. What he does when he is healthy and when he is right. And I get it. Okay? He wasn't healthy. And so, you know, all these other players are doing this while Ronald Acuña Jr. Whatever. He doesn't deserve to drop 15 spots just because he was hurt. Because guess what? You just said if he's back healthy and he's back right, he'll be right back in the top five, meaning he deserves to be in the top five. And I get it was right now and all that, but nah, man, that just doesn't sit right with me. That does not sit right with me at all. So I hope Ronald Acuña Jr., for one, can stay healthy just because, we need a healthy Ronald Acuña Jr. for the Braves to be successful. But two, I hope he stays healthy so he can prove all these guys wrong and let them know, hey, I'm still here and I just still deserve to be number one because I'm still the best baseball player in the world. And speaking of Ronald Acuña Jr. being healthy, before I really go off on Chris Sale being at 20, let's let you hear Ronald Acuña Jr. This is coming from Northport. Ronald Acuña Jr. was talking to the media, and he was talking about feeling what percentage he's feeling about right now.
Maybe 90-95%. I'm feeling great. That's the priority.
Do you feel like you have any restrictions? Like, how do you feel out there physically?
No, I don't think so, but the priority is I feel great. That's the most important thing. And when they tell me you need to play that day, I'll be there. Maybe 90%. But the last time, it's hard because they do the meniscus. But I feel great. That's the more important thing, you know.
Have you approached this any differently than you did the last time?
No, I feel more stable. When I go here, I feel more stable.
What did you learn last time going through this? Like, did you learn to kind of listen to your body a little bit more and take it easy instead of
Yeah, I need
it?
To take it easy a little bit. When I get on base, I need Riley and also he's to join. And it's quite easy.
First of all, shout out to Ronald Acuña Jr. doing that little media scrum and all in English. English is sounding good. So shout out to Ronald Acuña Jr. for that. And I think that's very promising to hear from Ronald Acuña Jr. Said he feel about 90-95% there. And he feels stable and said it was different. This year is different a little bit, or this surgery and rehab is different because last time they did the meniscus and I guess the ACL. This time it sounds like maybe it's just the ACL. So he's learned from that experience. And I honestly think him going through this before and going through this process before is going to end up helping him in the long run. And it's going to help him come back one sooner. And I feel like he's going to get back to his full form sooner as well. He's going to trust that knee sooner because of the experience that he had last time and going through this before. He knows he needs to take it a little bit more easy. We know Ronald Acuña Jr. is all gas, no brakes. Maybe he'll have a little break in there now. Maybe have a little break. And that's not a bad thing. Because having Ronald Acuña Jr. out there is important. So, look, that's all good stuff from Ronald Acuña Jr. there. And, again, I think him going through this before as far as a torn ACL and having to do this rehab, I think that'll help. And knowing, you know, to rely on his teammates to get him over a little bit more and maybe not going to go as crazy on the base pads, that's okay. So, look, he'll still be a demon on the base pads and he'll still be a threat, but maybe just tone it down just a little bit. You heard him say, take it easy just a little bit. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. So, Good to hear from Ron Acuña Jr. that he's feeling good and that the knee's feeling stable, that he feels better. He's learned from his past experience, and hopefully that will help him again not only get on the field faster but get back to full form faster, because when he's fully healthy and he's fully right, he is the best player in baseball. There's nobody better. Maybe Shohei Ohtani, but that's still an argument there. All right. I'm going to give you my take on Chris Sale when we come back. Also, we'll talk a little Falcons football on the other side as well. That's about 6 minutes from now here on the Hometown Take, live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey app.
Back with more of the Hometown Take with Dylan Matthews on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the Hometown Take live in the Kia Studios with your boy Dylan Matthews here on a Tuesday morning. I hope you all are doing well. Appreciate everybody that's tuned in, tapped in right now, that is on their way to work or already at work. Shout out to all my people that are on their way to the gym, already at the gym right now. I appreciate you tuning in as well. Make sure you follow the radio station at 929 The Game on all social media platforms. Follow myself at underscore Dylan Matthews on all social media platforms as well. I wanted to give my take on Chris Sale as well when it comes to his ranking, when it comes to the, again, I believe MLB Network ranked their 100, our top 100 MLB players right now. And you thought I went in about Ronald Acuña Jr. That's what we were talking about last segment. Just wait till you hear what I got to say about Chris Sale, because this is the one that really don't make sense to me. I mean, at least there's – it's not really a legitimate reason, but at least there's a reason that somewhat makes sense when it comes to Ronald Acuña Jr. He was injured, so that's why you drop him. Okay, I can at least somewhat understand that. Like, that at least kind of makes sense in my mind. I can fathom that. Chris Sale being ranked 20th? I can't fathom because of how the rest of the rankings shook out. Chris Sale should be no lower than 15th. No lower than 15th. I'm going to tell you exactly why Chris Sale shouldn't be any lower than 15th. For one, Chris Sale, we're talking about a guy who led the MLB in wins with 18, led the MLB in ERA at 2.38, led the MLB in strikeouts, 225, strikeouts per nine innings with 11.4. And that's not even at all the stats. Those are the main stats, but that's not every stat he led Major League Baseball in last season. And oh yeah, he won the freaking Cy Young Award, which is for the best Major League Baseball pitcher in the NL, right? Last time I checked, that's what the NL Cy Young Award is for. The best pitcher in the NL, right? So if he went, if Chris Sale is the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, doesn't that mean, according to this list, which has an emphasis on right now, by the way, right now, because Ronald Acuña Jr., since he got hurt, he's put down to 16th, because we're talking about right now, right? Even though he was number one, he went all the way down to 16 because right now he's coming back from a torn ACL, right? They put all this emphasis on right now. Well, if they put so much emphasis on right now, then someone please make it make sense on how Paul Skenes is 15th, but Chris Sale is 20th. How is Paul Skenes, who is a rookie, mind you, a very good rookie, I get it. He's a rookie, though. He's coming off a rookie season. How in the world does it make sense, if we're talking about right now, that Paul Skenes is ahead of Chris Sale? I'll say this again. Did Chris Sale just not win NL Cy Young? Did he just not win? Is he not the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner that is handed out to the best pitcher in the NL? So if we're talking about right now, how is Paul Skenes ahead of Chris Sale? Paul Skenes didn't win the Cy Young. Chris Sale did. Make it make sense. It doesn't. That to having Paul Skeens at 15 and Chris Sale at 20 is completely contradictory to this list. You didn't have Ron Acuña Jr. in the top five where he should have been, because right now he's coming off a torn ACL. But you don't have Chris Sale ahead of Paul Skeens, even though Chris Sale is right now the best pitcher in the NL. Paul Skeens also is in the NL. That means he ain't better than Chris Sale. That to me is Paul Skeens is going to be better than Chris Sale. So we're going to put him at 15. But this list is supposed to have all this emphasis on right now. Completely contradictory. Chris Sale should be no lower than 15th. How in the world is Paul Skeens ahead of him? Now, Tarik Skubal, he won AL Cy Young. So, again, he's at 11. I can understand that. If you would have had Tarik Skubal at 11, and even, again, if you had him at 11, and then, again, you put Chris Sale at 15, because I think Tarik Skubal is the first pitcher on the, besides Shohei. And again, Shohei, I understand. I understand Shohei. So I'm not going to argue with that on that. But I think besides Shohei, Tarik Skubal is the first pitcher on this list. I'm not mistaken. I'm double checking now. And I believe he is the first pitcher besides Shohei. Yeah. Okay. He's the first pitcher besides Shohei. I would have no qualms. I would have no beef if you want to put Shohei at 1, fine. You want to put Tarik Skubal at 11, fine. And you want to put Chris Sale at 15, fine. That makes sense. I can fathom that in my mind. But what I cannot fathom is how you have the NL Cy Young Award winner, the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, which goes to the best pitcher in the National League. How do you have a National League pitcher that didn't win the Cy Young ahead of him? Just because he's young and he looks like he's going to have a promising career? Okay, that's great. But again, the emphasis will be on right now. It doesn't make sense at all. So, yeah, this list to me, buns. Buns. Straight buns. Hot buns. Hot garbage. Because, yeah, Ron Acuña Jr., not in the top five just because he was injured. Okay. Still should be. Even if you had him in the top 10, I can understand. Even if you didn't have him in the top five, have him in the top 10. But 16? Crazy. And then you have Chris Sale, again, the NL Cy Young Award winner, the reigning NL Cy Young Award winner, behind Paul Skeens, an NL pitcher who did not win the NL Cy Young. I don't care if he won Rookie of the Year. I don't care how good he could be. I don't care how good he looked. Chris Sale led the MLB in just about every freaking statistical category, and he won the Cy Young. He should be the first NL pitcher on this list. And that means he should be no lower than 15, because that's where Paul Skeens is. So, yeah, list buns. Over it, man. Straight up over it. That's complete disrespect. So, it disrespected Ron Acuña Jr. It disrespecting Chris Sale, man. It's just, ugh, I just can't stand it. Oh, we got to talk about we'll get into some Falcons tomorrow, because the Falcons topics I have for you all can wait until tomorrow. We'll talk about that on a hump day. We do need to talk about the All-Star break, because after today, it'll be kind of old news. It's kind of oldish news already, but it's my first day talking to you all about it during this time. So, and I didn't get a chance to talk about it Saturday because All-Star Saturday night hadn't quite started yet. So All-Star break. We had All-Star Saturday night, obviously the past Saturday, the All-Star game on Sunday. The new format, it worked. And I think it worked for the one game. Let me finish the statement. It worked for the one game where you had Candace's, you know, rising stars against, I think it was Kenny's team. I forgot what Kenny's team had. Or Kenny's young stars, something like that. Or maybe the OGs. I can't remember. It actually might have been the OGs. It was Candace's rising stars against Shaq's OGs. I'm pretty sure it was. that game, that particular matchup worked because the Rising Stars were, to the Stephon Castles and Dalton Connects of the world, they were going after the OGs, trying to make a name for themselves and on one of the biggest stages show, hey, we're going to come after you. We're going to play hard. And so the OGs were like, okay, dang, they coming like this. We got to play hard. So there was an added level of competitiveness because of that particular matchup. However, when it was the Global Stars, Giannis actually didn't play. Trae Young replaced him on Chuck's Global Stars. But when the Trae Youngs and the Wembys and the Jokic's of the world against, you know, the Jason Tatums and the Stephen Currys and, you know, those guys of the world, it was the same old All-Star game. It was the same old, yeah, we ain't going to play that much defense. We're going to just kind of, you know, do our own thing and, you know, hum-litty-dee-dee-da past all this. So, I don't know what you do to fix the All-Star game. I don't know if you really can. And to be honest, someone and I were actually talking about this last night. She actually made a good point. Why are we so pressed to fix the All-Star game? Why? I don't understand why we're so pressed to fix the All-Star game. I say that because I get it. It would be cool if the All-Star game had maybe a little more effort and a little bit more defensive intensity. But the All-Star game is just for fun. It's literally supposed to be just fun entertainment that's not supposed to be that serious. So for me, I would enjoy the guys out there goofing off and Trae Young throwing it off of Kyrie Irving's back and then nutmegging dudes and, you know, throwing a behind-the-back pass to Wemby. I enjoyed that. I enjoy the lobs and the Steph Curry making half-court shots. Like, that's cool. But the real entertainment is supposed to come from the regular season and postseason games. Like, that is where you're supposed to really be entertained and locked into the NBA like that. Like, the All-Star game is literally just for kicks and giggles. Like, why are we trying to fix a game that means nothing? As long as the product, which, you know, that is a different conversation because the regular season, you know, has, you know, taken a dip as far as, you know, some intensity and stuff like that goes. But the regular season and the postseason is where you're really supposed to be entertained and, you know, want that. Because, look, I guarantee you, if they start playing hard in the All-Star game and somebody gets hurt, God forbid, people are going to be mad. Oh, why are they playing so hard in the All-Star game anyway? Well, y'all wanted them to. Y'all were crying so much about it. And look, the All-Star game to me is what it is. It's an All-Star game. They're goofing off. They're having fun. Let them. Again, it's cool to see Steph Curry knock down a half-court shot mid-game. It's cool to see Trae Young throw it off of Kyrie Irving's back, nutmeg a dude, and then throw it behind a behind-the-back pass to Wemby for an assist. That's cool. Like, let him goof off. Why are we trying to fix a game that means nothing? It's a fun exhibition game. It ain't that deep. This ain't the regular season we're talking about where they're doing this. It ain't the postseason we're talking about that they're doing this. It's an All-Star game. Let's stop trying to fix something that doesn't really need to be fixed and just take it for what it is. And if you really don't like it, don't watch it. Maybe they stop putting it out there, period. Maybe they'll just name All-Stars and keep it pushing. So, I don't know. Mac McClung, though, he might single-handedly save the dunk contest while we're talking about All-Star weekend. Ja Morant tweeted that seeing Mac McClung do what he does at the dunk contest, three-time winner now, three times in a row, makes Ja Morant want to dunk, he said, and then Giannis quote tweeted, John Morant's tweet and said, if you do it, I'll do it. So Mac McClung showing out at the dunk contest may get some big names out there. We shall see. But yeah, it's just, to me, it's not that deep when it comes to trying, you know, to have this defensive intensity and, you know, trying to bring this, you know, extra added element to the All-Star game. It's not that. And I don't think it's ever really going to be that. Back in the day, they didn't really play defense like that either. So, I don't know. I don't know what the fix is. I don't know if there really is a fix. I will be interested, though. There are reports that the NBA was talking about doing maybe a one-on-one tournament and adding that to All-Star weekend. not like for the All-Star game, but adding a one-on-one tournament, All-Star weekend, I would watch that. And they would, and the you get $1 million prize, whoever the winner would be, I would watch that. Now, that would be good. I would definitely watch that. So I think that would be something good to add. But anywho, that is my time. I appreciate y'all tuning in this morning. We'll be back tomorrow on a hump day, Wednesday, and we'll get into some more Falcons talk and react to some mock drafts. Also, talk about some potential cuts that could be coming for the Falcons. We'll get on to that tomorrow, 5 a.m. sharp. But until then, the morning shift with Tiffany Blackman, Bo Morgan, and Mike Johnson coming up next. I'll talk to you at 5 a.m. Until then, peace.